It's titled Feud at a Baptist Church. And it says, there was a feud between the pastor and the music director at the Hicksville Baptist Church. I don't know if this was is up in West Lincoln anywhere or not. It seems that the first hint of trouble came when the pastor preached on dedicating yourself to service, and the choir director chose to sing, I Shall Not Be Moved. Trying to believe it was a coincidence, the pastor put the incident behind him. The next Sunday, he preached on giving. Afterward, the choir squirmed as the director led them in the hymn, Jesus Paid It All. By this time, the pastor was losing his temper. Sunday morning attendance swelled as the tension built between the two, and a large crowd showed up the next week to hear his sermon on the sins of gossiping. Would you believe the choir director selected, I love to tell the story. There was no turning back. The following Sunday, the pastor told the congregation that unless something changed, he was considering resignation. The entire church gasped when the choir director led them in Why Not Tonight. Truthfully, no one was surprised when the pastor resigned a week later, explaining that Jesus had led him there and that Jesus was leading him away. The choir director could not resist. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, mercy. I heard somebody say, I don't know if it's true, I heard somebody say the first choir director was Lucifer, so I don't know. And he said that's where all the tensions have come down through the years. But anyhow, we ain't got nobody permanent, really. We've been switching back and forth, and I've been the choir director a lot, and we've actually had Will a lot, and he's not here, so we're not actually picking on him, but amen. If you have your Bibles, look at this in Ephesians chapter 5. Amen. Wouldn't be good to pick on somebody who wasn't here. We could pick on Johnny since he's here. But Ephesians chapter 5, and I'll read just a couple verses of Scripture. Begin in verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5, begin in verse 25. The Bible, if you would stand, if you want to, stand as we read the Scripture. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Amen. Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you, Lord, for this privilege of prayer. Thank you for this opportunity you've given us, Lord, to come before you tonight. And Lord, I pray, God, that you're just blessed. Thank you, Lord, for the good singing thus far. And thank you for the move of the Spirit of God. And Lord, I pray, God, that you just touch our heart, Lord, that we'd be sensitive to your word tonight. God, you'd give us just what we need. Lord, I pray you'd help us, encourage us in these days. Lord, I pray you'd bless our church. We just keep on keeping on and do more for you in the days to come and look forward to what you have in store for us. God, we know that, God, you're able to bless us and you're able to help us and able to give us more than we could ever think of, Lord, more than we can ask or think, God. We just put it in your hands. Lord, I pray that you'd meet with us in a special way tonight, and all that's said and done, we'll thank you and praise you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, and really I'm there's a whole passage of Scripture around this. It really deals with the home and the submission that should be in the home and God's order and direction of things but also there's a lot of things that we see in this passage about the church, and God gives us that wonderful example and that wonderful picture of the church as the bride and Christ as the groom, and the picture of how that the Bible tells us here that husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. The example there is, in fact, sometimes men want to harp on the submission part, and but of course it starts out the verse before where it says, "Wives, submit yourselves." It says, "Submit yourselves one another in fear of God." And then, one of the strongest language, really, I believe, is verse 25, where it tells the husband to love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Well, there's no greater love, the Bible says, hath no man than what the Lord had when He laid down His life for the sheep. There's no greater love. And the Scripture says He gave Himself for it, for the church. And He says in verse 26 that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water or by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, what a beautiful picture of the church. He said, without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. What a beautiful picture of the Lord's church. And I believe that just as sometimes we often say, it kind of goes along with something we say, you know, getting the man of our dreams or whatever. I hope that if my wife got the man of her dreams, and there hasn't been a lot of nightmares and all that, and then I could, you know, look at her being the woman of my dreams, and she is, and I thank God for her. I thought about this thought, you know, and it kind of goes along with that, talking about the church. I believe this picture here is one that's a beautiful picture. It's a perfect picture. I mean, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, a glorious church, the Bible says. So I might say tonight that this is we could talk about, I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about the church of my dreams. Amen? The church of my dreams. Amen. I mean, we ought to be thankful that we have the opportunity to be in a good Bible-believing church. And we have the privilege to come and to worship the Lord. And truly, unto God, it ought to be the, amen, the church of our dreams ought to be what the Scripture says. It ought to be as this glorious church, if you will, without the spot, without wrinkle. And you say, well, you know, it's not going to be like that in this earth. But I believe that's the example. You know, that's what we ought to strive for. Amen. I mean, somebody said there's not a perfect church. And amen, I agree with that. You know, there's because it's not made of any perfect people. It's made of flawed people. And somebody's looking for a church where there is where it's perfect or whatever. You know, if you join it, you'll mess it up. Yep. Amen. There's nowhere that, you know, the church is perfect, and because people are not perfect. But yet, what a privilege to look at example that the Lord's given us in the Scriptures. And if we'll try to pattern ourselves after that example, I believe we'll be headed in the right direction. You know, a lot of times I've thought, you know, oh, what a blessing it is to have a church that's some of these things, some of these qualities we want to talk about tonight. In fact, if it's a church of our dreams, it comes out of a vision that the Lord's put in our heart to be what God wants us to be. Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Amen. If we don't have a vision, if we don't see what God wants us to do and what direction God wants us to go in, and then, amen, we're missing a lot, you see. Bible tells us in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, the Bible says, "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet to appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come." It will not tarry. God has given us a direction. God has given us a path. God has a vision, if you will. In fact, I want to close after a while. And I don't want y'all get too excited. After a while, after I get through about the fifth or sixth point, I'm going to close with it. Another verse about vision. So we're just going to go from a vision to a vision, but it'll take us a while to get there. But, I mean, for the church to come together and to work and to be built, it's a picture of what happened there in the days of Nehemiah. The Bible tells us in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, "Then I told them of the hand of God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build." I mean, this is what the crowd said after he had told them what needed to be done, and after his heart was broken and they seen the broken heart of the man of God. The Bible says that the people said, "Let us rise up and build." And so they strengthened their hands for this good work. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. Scare most pastors to death, wouldn't it? Amen. Whole crowd would jump up and say, "Hey, let's get busy. Let's rise up and build. Let's do something. Praise God, let's do something." The whole crowd rose up and Nehemiah fell over. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
He said, "Let us rise up and build." The Bible says they strengthened their hands for the good work. You know, it's a good work. Amen. In the house of God, it's a good work being amongst God's people. It's a good work fellowship with God's people and going forward for the cause of Christ. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, the Bible says, listen, I mean, this is the reason it's good, not because we're good, because He's good. Amen. He's the foundation. Listen to it. It said, "And built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together, growing unto a holy temple in the Lord." What a blessing. Amen. It can be a good work. It can be a good church. If the cornerstone's Jesus Christ, if the foundation's the apostles and the prophets, amen, that's a picture of the Word of God, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The foundation is the Word of God. The cornerstone is Jesus Christ. And praise God. We can see the church of our dreams. Amen. The church of my dreams, if you will. First of all, let me say the church of my dreams is a united church.
Amen.
It's a united church. Listen to this. Psalms chapter 133 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity." How good, how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's a principle, amen. That principle of unity is throughout the Bible. And when people get united, when people get on the same page, praise God, and they get in harmony and get headed in the right direction, praise God, God can bless. And God says, boy, hey, there's something that's not divided. In fact, the Scripture tells us in Mark chapter 3 and verse 24, it says, "And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand." Amen, that house cannot stand. I heard somebody, I believe it was somebody preaching at our church, and I can't even remember what example it was, but it was one I hadn't heard of yet. I mean, I thought I'd heard all of them, Brother Johnny. I mean, I've heard of churches splitting over what color the carpet is. I've heard of churches splitting over and been around some of these. I ain't going to tell you which ones, but, maybe I will. One of them was about a songbook. I was in one time that split over a songbook. That's how it started. About a songbook. And I mean, it wasn't no ungodly bunch of mess. Amen. I mean, that'd been a good reason for somebody to leave if it had one of those books that's got all those perversions of the Bible in the back of it, you know, for the responsive reading and all that. But anyhow, we had some of those one time, and I cut them all out. Yep. Amen. I had some one time, a guy told me, he said, "Man, I like those, but we ought to use it." I said, "But it's got all that mess in the back of it." I said, "I don't want to use that. They've been sitting around there for a long time. They're just collecting dust. I figure somebody, thank God, somebody else had seen those other versions in there and put it back there in the back." But anyhow, he said, "Well, why don't you just cut them out?" And I said, "Well, praise God, the church has got a paper cutter and we'll put her to use." And we did. Cut every one of them out of the back of those things. And we finally gave them away to somebody else too. But anyhow, they was all fixed up then. Amen. But anyhow, this wasn't really a big major thing. In fact, I think what it was, I believe, is going to start using this red back book we use. That's what they was going to start using. But anyhow, it wasn't anything about doctrinal issues about it or anything like that. It's just something for somebody to start a mess with. Amen? Heard churches splitting over which side the piano was put on. Amen? I've heard churches splitting over a whole bunch of stuff. Amen? I forget if somebody tell me about something new, I think it was, I hadn't heard of. But you know, what a blessing when churches come together, though.
Yeah.
Amen. You don't hear a church coming together and having that unity and that harmony like they need to have, but we need to hear more of that, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. That's according to the Scripture. That's according to the Word of God. The Bible says how good, how pleasant. In fact, if you read that verse, it's an exclamation mark at the end of it. So you need to say that with emphasis. You need to exclaim that verse of Scripture. It says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity."
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Bless His holy name. Listen, second of all, let me say, amen. Why am I hurry up? I don't get down to point six or seven. Number two, And another thing about the church of my dreams, first, a united church. Secondly, an attended church. Amen. An attended church. Well, ain't that a good thing? Amen. Yeah. Never forget, no preacher wants to preach to a bunch of empty pews. Amen. No matter how pretty they are. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I mean, we ought to be attending the house of God. We ought to be there when the doors is open, praise God. Bible tells us in Psalms 122 and verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Let us go unto the house of the Lord. What a blessing to know, amen, when it's time to go to God's house. Be excited. Be thankful for that opportunity that we have to be in God's house. And praise God, Hebrews 10:25. Amen. Hope you can quote that scripture. Amen. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And it's something that the Bible says in that verse. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So many people believe the Lord's coming back. We talk about that in the prayer room, and we talk about it all the time. Well, if we really believe it, why ain't the house of God filling up? And why ain't there more people in the house of God? As the day approaches, we ought not be forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. What? Church of my dreams is an attended church. And church of my dreams is a united church. Praise God. Amen. Maybe we'll preach more on that attended church on Sunday morning. Number three. Not only that, but let me say that Church of My Dreams is a friendly church. Amen. Amen. A friendly church. It must be friendly if it's going to attract people. Amen. We ain't in the business trying to run people off. Amen. I mean, if they get run off by the Scriptures, if they get run off by our stand on the Word of God, then they've heard the Word, praise God. Amen. There's been a seed been planted in their life. But if they're run off because we're unfriendly, that just ain't right. No. I was reading a little thing. I told somebody about one of them. As a guy put this thing together, I don't know where he's getting all these things. Little old funny little lines and everything. He must go around from church to church and make up church bulletins, I reckon. I don't know. But he had 35 pages of just all kinds of little humorous things. All of them was good. And then he'd put some scripture in there and everything. He's getting them out to a lot of different businesses and everything. And that's a blessing. In fact, I picked it up at a tire shop. But anyhow, he had one little thing in there. He was talking about somebody that had been coming to, somebody that was in the church service and had a hat on, a man that had a hat on during church service. I mean, here he sat during the church service with a hat on, and one of the ushers went by and told him, he said, sir, you know, would you mind taking your hat off in reverence to the house of God here during the services? Wouldn't you mind taking your hat off? He said, I will, but I just wanted to let you know, I've been coming here for about 3 or 4 months. I said, you have? He said, yeah, I've been coming here for about 3 or 4 months. You're the first person to come talk to me. He said, I thought I'd just put my hat on, see if I'd get some attention, see if I'd get somebody to talk to me. Ain't that something? But you know, that's the way it is sometimes, you know. And it shouldn't be that way. I've heard folks of business and other churches and everything and come by here and almost be shocked that there's still a church where folks shake one another's hand, talk to one another, about everybody go around and shake everybody's hand and everything. If they ain't got a cold, I mean, if somebody ain't shaking your hand, don't worry about it. It might be somebody's got a cold and they're just staying put, okay? Amen. Don't think they're mad at you, okay? Amen. Johnny was coming in here one day like this. You know, he just wanted everybody to bump into his shoulder or something. He said he didn't want to spread nothing, you know. And we stayed away from him. We sure did. We kept him in a corner. But, it's something to know that there's some place that they don't ever shake your hand, don't ever say nothing to you. But we ought to be friendly, praise God. The Bible tells us, if they find people more friendly outside of the church than what they do on the inside, there's something wrong. Amen, there's something wrong. Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. Amen. I guess you could probably have all the I's dotted and all the T's crossed but still not have that friendliness about you and everything. And there's something missing there. There's something missing. I believe God's people ought to be the happiest people in the world. Amen. I believe we got something to rejoice about. We got something to thank God about. We got something to smile about. Amen. We could come in here and we could smile, praise God, when we come in the house of God. Amen. Somebody said, I don't understand. I guess that's one muscle that we aren't exercising too much or whatever. They say it takes more muscles to frown than it does smile. And I reckon people are, you know, using their mouth muscles a lot. Well, probably in a couple of ways, but anyhow, that's another thing. That goes back to what that preacher said about that gospel and preaching on that. But anyhow, if it takes less, I guess they're using their muscle a lot because a lot of people are frowning. A lot of people got that smile upside down. Amen. We ought to smile. We ought to show ourselves friendly, praise God. If there's going to be any, and I know there's churches named that, praise God, and I hope they are. I've heard a church named Friendly Baptist Church. Amen. I've heard of Unity Baptist Church, Harmony Baptist Church. I hope it's true, praise God. And I hope it's true that our name, amen, we stay true to our name, Gospel Way Baptist Church. We'll keep spreading the gospel. We'll keep staying that way, praise God, as the disciples were. But let me say not only that, but this goes hand in hand with that. Church of my dreams, a united church, an attended church, a friendly church, a loving church. And that just kind of goes along with that, I think. But, you know, out of just being friendly, we also ought to be a loving church. The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 15, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning verse 15, it says, "But speak the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase to the body under the edifying of itself in love." Speaking the truth in love, being built up in love. Praise God. We ought to be a loving church. Amen. Scripture, we ought to have love. Our church ought to have love for each other. Bible says in 1 John 3:14, "We know we pass from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." We know that we're saved, praise God, because we love the brethren. We love being around God's people. And the scripture goes on to tell us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them which are of the household of faith." Amen. Somebody that's saved by the grace of God. Somebody that's a part of the church. We all have love for each other. We all have love for the lost. The Bible says in Jude, in verse 22, it says, "Of some have compassion, making a difference." Amen. It'll make a difference in folks' life. Amen. If they see God's people and have a compassion. And then not only that, but love for the fallen. Reminded of that old good Samaritan. The Bible says a certain Samaritan that one had been left on the side of the road, hadn't he? And the Levite come by and the priest come by and left him in the same condition. But the good Samaritan came by, the Bible says, and he journeyed, and he came where he was in Luke 10:33. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. That's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a picture of the Holy Spirit coming in heaven, putting his arms around those that are fallen, or putting his arms around those that are in the side ditches of life, if you will. That's a picture of what we should do as a church, reach out to those that are fallen. Not only do we see that Church of Our Dreams is a Or Church of My Dreams is a and your dreams, praise God. United church, an attended church, a friendly church, a loving church. Not only that, but a spiritual church. Amen. A spiritual church. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12, it says, "Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church." Amen. God hasn't given us gifts that tear the church down. God gives us gifts that build the church up. God's not the author. In fact, when Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in that first letter and several chapters around this, around chapter 14, he told them that God's not the author of confusion. There was some things, there were some spiritual gifts that were given in the early church that today are not in operation as they was then. Not saying that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says of Jesus, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God said, "I change not." Amen. But that doesn't mean that the Lord is not working in a different way today as He was then. In fact, He's working a different way when the disciples were with Him, and then after He ascended into heaven, He's working with them in a different way. He told them in one place, he told them, he said, don't take scrip, don't take food, don't take raiment, don't take nothing, you know, for your journey. And then later on, he told them to take something for their journey. In fact, he told them to pick up a sword and take a sword for their journey. He had told them to take nothing before that. But now he tells them to take something. Why? God was dealing with them in a different way. And in that early church, they didn't have this right here that you have today. They didn't have the complete Word of God. The Bible tells us of prophecies and of tongues that they shall cease when that which is perfect has come. The Word of God's complete today. And we don't have a continuing revelation. We have a complete revelation in the Word of God. We don't need nobody to add nothing to it. Amen. Somebody heard about one that got up in a meeting one time, and they got up and said it was one of them camp meeting things. And in fact, it was down at Myrtle, Mississippi, Camp Zion. I mean, they was having a good time in the Lord, and they were shouting it out, and there was somebody come in that service that believed in tongues in operation today, and they jumped up and spoke some kind of language or something or another. And Lord says, somebody come up to the pulpit to interpret. They said, I know exactly what that person's saying. It was actually a missionary in another country. And that person had spoken another language. And they cussed Jesus Christ and did all kinds of stuff. I mean, they didn't know that they had turned theirself over to the devil. And the devil spoke through them that day. You just hold yourself open and you open yourself up to a bunch of junk and a bunch of spirit and something move on you. Yeah, it might be something move on you and it might not be the Holy Spirit. Amen. You don't need to seek. You don't need to seek nothing else, praise God. I tell you what, we don't believe the Word of God. We ain't following what the Word of God tells a Christian to do anyhow most of the time. And then we try to seek for something else, another sign. The Bible says it's a sinful and an adulterous generation that seeketh after a sign. The Bible says that the Jews require a sign. The church is signless. So we don't need the sign of speaking in tongues. We don't need the sign of healings today. We don't need the sign gifts. We have a complete revelation of the Word of God. Man, I don't know how to get off on all that. But... Amen. Church of our dreams, a spiritual church. Amen? Amen. And that doesn't mean necessarily about shouting and jumping a pew, but I guess a spiritual church would listen to the Spirit of God. I guess the spiritual church would follow what this book says. I guess the spiritual church would be a Bible reading church. Amen. Amen. I guess the spiritual church would be, wouldn't it? Because God gave us this book. The Bible says in John chapter 17, in verse 17, it says, sanctify them through thy truth. How are we going to know the truth? The rest of that verse says, thy word is truth. We're going to know the truth if we read the truth, praise God. We get in the Word of God. Spiritual church, a Bible reading church. Not only that, a spiritual church is a Bible-practicing church. Amen. James 1, verse 22, the Bible says, but be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be not just hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. Praise God. So many times people want to say, you know, amen, preacher, that's right, amen, amen. And then we won't put it in action when we leave the building. We ought to put it in action, praise God, and we leave the bill. We ought to put it in action after we read it and God impresses on our heart. We ought to listen to what God says in His Word. Amen. We could say amen and praise the Lord and hallelujah Sunday night after the message and during the message about being a soul winner. But we ought to be a soul winner. We ought to talk to folks about Christ. We ought to tell folks about Jesus. We ought to hand out a gospel tract because folks are dying and going to hell. We can say, I love Jesus, amen. We can sing, I love Jesus, and we can tell Him we love Him, but the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. What did Jesus die for? Only thing He died for is lost sinners. That's all He died for is the lost that are on their way to hell. And if we love Him and we're a Bible-believing church, a Bible-reading church, a Bible-practicing church, we'll do what He says in His Word. Amen. Listen, not only that, but a spiritual church is a praying church, amen. It's a praying church. The Bible says that Peter therefore was kept in prison in Acts 12:5. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. That was a blessing. In fact, it's a little bit of a comical story. They began to pray, and church began to pray. God would touch Peter, and God would get Peter out of the jail. I can imagine them meeting every once in a while at somebody's house and everything. In fact, this time, particular time they were. They'd been praying that God would get old Peter out of jail. And then somebody goes and answers the door, and there stands Peter. And she left and went back to the crowd and told him, and said, Peter's standing at the door. And he said, well, you must be confused. It must be a spirit. And Lord God, if Peter ain't still over there knocking, he's still at the door knocking. So they have to go back and praise God. Finally, let him in. Amen. But you know what? God's able to answer prayer, ain't he? He's able to hear and answer prayer. And a spiritual church will be a praying church. Praise God. Amen. Thank God for our church. Thank God for a praying church we have here at Gospel Way Baptist Church. Amen. I'm sure that any family, anybody in our church has a need. They'll let somebody else know. They'll let somebody else know this church will be a praying for them. They'll be praying that God will meet with that need and do what needs to be done there. Amen. But then last of all, let me give you this. And I'm going to get back around to that about a vision. So this is the last point, all right? Anyhow, you can say amen there. Last point, praise God. Amen. Listen, Church of My Dreams, a loving church, spiritual church. Dave's always there ready to back me up. Amen. Friendly church, attended church, united church. Praise God. And then last of all, a missionary church. Amen. A missionary church. Acts, and everybody can say amen there too. Praise God. A missionary church. Church of My Dreams. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Praise God. Ain't it a blessing if we reach out as we do and continue to reach out as we will in the days to come. Praise God. The sun never sets on the ministry of Gospel Way Baptist Church. The sun never goes down, praise God. All through the day, all through the night, day after day, there's somebody doing something for Jesus because we got a part in it, praise God.
Amen.
Blessing to read about folks being saved. Blessing to read about millions of tracts being sent out. And we didn't send enough money to pay for all of them, but we sent enough money to pay for a few of them, praise God, to send a few of them out around the world. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, praising God. This is about the church. I guess probably we talk about the church of our dreams. We could probably just read out of Acts chapter 2, couldn't we? After Peter preached that sermon. Amen. Those got saved. And the scripture tells us how the church was and how they were operating there in the first day after the day of Pentecost there. And the scripture says, and this is the last verse in chapter 2, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Ain't that a blessing? Ain't that a blessing? He adds to the church daily. And then last of all, let me give you another passage. I'm not going to another point, okay? Boy, y'all got, this is lastly under the lastly, okay? You know, Paul did that a lot. I mean, that's scriptural, folks. You know that, don't you? I mean, there's a few books that Paul wrote. I mean, he'd get down to the last couple chapters, he'd say, finally, my brethren. He did that in the Philippians. If you look in Philippians chapter 3, Philippians has got four chapters in it. Well, halfway through, he said, finally. Amen. I mean, halfway through, he said, finally, didn't he? Chapter 3 and verse 1, he said, finally, brethren. Amen. I'm about halfway done. So you can put your finally in, lastly in, about halfway through, praise God. And it'll be scriptural. Let me give you this. Acts chapter 16, verse 9, the Bible says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Amen. Praise God. There was somebody. Paul had seen a vision. Paul had seen somebody crying out and calling for somebody to come over and help them. Praise God. Amen. Church of My Dreams, a missionary church, spiritual church, loving, friendly church, united, attended church. Amen. I trust that'd be the desire of our heart too, praise God, for our church to be the kind of church that the Bible says we ought to be, following after what the Word of God has to say there. Amen. Think about that song. Amen. Send the light. There's that Macedonian call went out. And that's what we ought to do. Just send the light, the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because there's some. The Bible tells us there's some. And the Bible says that Paul wrote that to the church at Corinth, and he said, I speak this to your shame. There's some that have not heard. There's some that have not heard. I speak this to your shame. There's some probably in a short distance from Gospel Way Baptist Church that has never heard a real clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've heard about the Lord. They might have a Bible in their home, but they haven't had somebody to sit down with them and really explain to them how they can know that they know that they're saved. I went by a little restaurant today. I'll share this with you and I'm done. I went by a little it wasn't a restaurant. I'm sorry. gas station, that's what it was. It wasn't a restaurant. They might have had food in there somewhere. All of them have a lot of food and everything. But anyhow, I went by this little gas station today, and I just went in to get me something to drink, and seen a little pamphlet there, seen a little tract there, and I picked it up, talking about, I think it says something about, wouldn't you like to understand the Bible or read the Bible or something, and I was wondering what it might say on the very back of it, so I flipped it over, and it did say Watchtower on it. So I kept it, praise God. If it had been a stack of them, I'd have took a whole bunch of them. Amen. Just in case we start up that wood stove, you know, or the fireplace this year. Amen. But I did. I took that thing, got it all ripped up and everything. Praise God. Amen. Dispose of them. Amen. Take all of them you can. They called me last week. There was some JWs going down through the community over there. And he was calling me asking about something or other. But anyhow, he was going to try to see if, I'll take yours, you take mine. He was going to give him some tracts, praise God. But they never did come by his door, or he missed them if he did. But I'll take all I can get of that mess and throw it away, praise God. Amen. Throw it away. But you know what? There's a lot of people being deceived. There's a lot of people. They're not hearing the true gospel. They're not hearing the true message. They haven't heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And if somebody like that goes by their door and talks to them, they're not going to hear the message of the gospel. They're not going to hear about Jesus. They're not going to hear the truth about Christ, are they? Amen. God knows their hearts today, and amen. Amen. We're just going to maybe close in a word of prayer. God knows your heart, and amen. Church, the altar's always open. Amen. You can pray anytime. Be glad to pray with you. Amen. Pray one for another. Amen.